The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com.
All right, a really special edition of the show, doing it completely live at Marymount University in attendance with a live studio audience. We had students from Marymount, local Northern Virginia PTs, some professors from Marymount as well. A great show in a live bar with an audience. Doing the college tour on PT Pintcast, we talked to chair of the Marymount program, Sky Donovan. We talked to Amanda Hall, pediatric PT orthotist from HSC in DC, Amy O'Malley, and professor from Marymount, Jason Craig, on this episode.
This is the PT Pintcast.
Are you guys ready to start the show?
Yes.
Are we ready?
The best conversations happen at happy hour.
Come on, let's drink beer.
Welcome to ours. This is the PT Pintcast, where we talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
Gotta go hard or go home.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, the best conversations happen at happy hour. Are you guys liking the open bar here at Marymount University? It's not a tough sell to get a bunch of PT students to come out to a happy hour podcast show. It's really a happy hour with a podcast show. It's not a podcast with a happy hour. I like that. You lead with the free alcohol and the free food. Really, just lead with the free alcohol. They'll show up. So I want to welcome the students from Marymount University and Northern Virginia. We got a bunch of local PTs here in the house tonight. So thank you guys for coming out. Make some noise right now. Good. The louder you are, the better your test scores will be because your professors are here. Good. All right, we're going to lead this off. We're going to do a couple different interviews. We usually do one-on-one interviews. This is the first time we've ever done this. We're doing a college tour. Marymount is the kickoff, of course, because I graduated from here, so you got to start your home field advantage. We're also going to Utica College, Sacred Heart in Connecticut, and out on Long Island with Stony Brook University. So we're doing a college tour of the East Coast right now. This is my excuse to visit bars all across the East Coast and just kind of get drinks with PT who are just kind of like-minded and want to have a good time. So why not kick it off with someone you know real well? The only person who's been on the show 4 different times. She's got the record. Ladies and gentlemen, chair of Marymount Physical Therapy, Sky Donovan in the show.
Why, thank you, Jimmy. I feel like I'm in the classroom because the front row
the front row's empty. You could have easily gotten yourself points, students. There you go.
If I could see you easier, you
he's
might get an
He's not even a student,
a.
but he's smart.
Hey!
Teddy's in the front. So yeah, so while we're recording this, school just getting underway.
We're in week 2.
Week 2.
Week 2 done.
And there are a lot of familiar faces here because we've got a lot of Marymount students. I just graduated a year ago. We got some first year students. And not long ago, you wrote a blog post for us that was the survival guide of your first year of PT school.
Yeah, how to succeed, how to get through that first year.
Well, a lot leads up to it. You know, you have a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get into PT school. You're paying a crap load of money for it. You want to make sure you don't be that washout person. There's always the washout person or two. You want to make sure you get your money's worth and you don't just survive, you thrive.
Yeah.
So what were some of the hints that you used on what to focus on, what to really prioritize your first year of PT school?
Well, I know one of them was a little bit controversial where I said, buy the books. Your professors are there to tell you what they know about PT and they're experts in their field. But when you're really trying to develop your mind and figure out how all of these concepts apply to different situations, it's really worth it to figure out a good strategy is for you to keep this forever because you got to pass the MPTE eventually.
Right.
So books... Or
well, hold on.
Figure out your resources.
Before you go on and say books, if I had known then
then
what I know now, the NPTE, the big bad scary wolf test you've got to take at the end of PT school, the questions are written from textbooks,
the textbooks
that you are suggesting.
Yes.
They're not written from the study books. They're not written from your professor's notes. They are written from the textbooks, and you guys have the textbooks suggested for your classes. So that's an important. So you're saying why, you know, is Sky Donovan, you know, getting a kickback from the textbook industry? Probably not.
No.
But get the books
Negative
because they're
on
important.
That one.
All right, so what's the next tip? What's number two?
One of the things that I think is most important about being a PT student is you work so hard to get here. It's like, be in the moment. Take advantage of all the opportunities that you have. I was really proud this morning. You know, we had a great event in D.C. With HSC, who's my neighbor right here during the podcast. I know that it sounds really daunting when you get asked to do volunteer opportunities when you're a first-year student, but you should just have at it. You know, this is why you're here. And, you know, network, network, network. I think that was one of my tips was, you know, you're going to feel a little bit like a fish out of water, but we're all physical therapists. The great thing about that is we were all sitting in the same place that you were at some point. We're all invested in the profession, and all we want to do is produce great physical therapists of the new generation. So we want you guys to put yourselves out there and get to know us. And you know, you're going to make a connection that you wouldn't have made by just sitting in the classroom. So
I mean, this profession is worldwide, obviously, but it's very, very small in terms of people know people. And there's, you know, it's, what, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. But in PT, it's even smaller. You wind up seeing the same names over and over again.
It's only 3 degrees to Jimmy McKay, I've heard.
3 degrees, yeah, right. So what's one more? What's the last thing you'd tell students who are just a couple weeks into their first year of PT
school?
Well,
I got a new one, I think, for you.
You got a new tip?
I think I got number 7.
Okay,
hit us.
That
wasn't on the 6, because I was only allowed to say 6. And this is also controversial.
You got super quiet here.
Be quiet, right? Don't be afraid to fail. I don't mean, like, don't fail your classes, right? Okay, let's be clear about that.
Don't fail out. Disclaimer. You do not get your money back.
But I think what happens when you come into PT school, you've had to get a 4.0. You've had to score really high on your GREs. And you've been competing the whole time that you've been in school. And you see these professors and other physical therapists that are your mentors in the clinic in front of you. And you think, oh my gosh, I just want to be as good as them, right? I fail every day, okay? So that's where you learn the most. If you allow yourself to make mistakes and learn from your mistakes, that's really where all the growth happens. But it's super uncomfortable. Like, I don't like to make mistakes, but I do. I mean, just yesterday, I was doing a pre-participation exam for the athletes at Marymount University, and I was doing a Snellen eye chart exam on one of the athletes who is a swimmer, and I put the wrong eye down on the documentation. So the doc has to come over to me and say, so this particular person is blind in their right eye, and you have them rated as 20/20 in their right eye? And I was like, so that was what was their left eye. I said, so sorry about that. It happens to us all the time as well, and I learned, pay attention more.
Pay attention.
don't talk while you're doing a Snellen eye exam.
So while you're saying this, I'm looking out at the crowd, and just quick show of hands if you're listening right now, physical therapists or second year on, how many of you guys failed a practical or did bad in a quiz or anything like that? No one's going to admit it. Yeah. Woo! In the front only. Here, I did. Yeah. Here's the thing. Do you remember it? Are you ever going to do that mistake again ever? No. You're never going to do that mistake again ever.
Yeah.
So it's okay. There.
It is
that's
okay.
The time to fail, right? That's the time to screw up. Unless you're out doing snow and eye charts on athletes right now, then, you know, that's probably, that's good too. That's a good point.
Yeah, make mistakes, talk to your peers about it, learn from it, and number one, yeah, you won't do it again, but that's really where you figure out who you are and you come back from that, right? So the big buzzword is grit and perseverance, and there's nothing different with PT. You know, we want our patients to have that perseverance, so we should only expect that is a minimal bar for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And we talked about grit before. What was the formula for grit, or the basic idea of what grit was? Because, yeah, getting a 4.0 is great. But the first time you kind of get put on your ass in PT school, if you don't know how to get back up, if you've never been kind of punched in the teeth academically, that can be kind of daunting in terms of, well, how do I pick my ass up now and keep going?
And I think one of the other things that's undervalued is the person, nothing against getting a 4.0, props to you, but there's so much problem solving that has to happen every moment when you're in the field that sometimes the person who has the 4.0 is so rigid in their thought process that they can't think outside the box, right? So we almost appreciate more someone who's willing to make mistakes and say, I'm gonna just try this because it might work out for your patient. So, you know, really innovative thinking is the way to go.
B's get degrees, guys. B's get degrees. And you've said before, was it episode 100, you said, sometimes the B student winds up being able to adapt and able to problem solve, and they're not so rigid and caught on thinking, hey, I really need to get that A. Where does the A matter? You know, your patient doesn't care if you had a 4.0.
Right.
They don't care as long as they know that you're in front of them trying everything. We learned that from Ryan Clark from the New York Giants at the Inova event. You know, he just wanted to make sure in front of me, you're going to give me everything I got.
Yeah.
You alluded to an event that you had guys done before. You said one thing PT students should do, not just first year, but throughout, is say yes.
Say yes.
Be the yes man. Say yes. So what were you doing today? You and a bunch of, was it just first years or all 3 years?
No, we had all 3 years. Nice. It was fantastic. So my friend here, Amanda Hall, gave me a little email. So the networking through PT Pinecast.
Yeah.
And she works at HSC in DC, and they had Adaptive Adventure Day today. So we had the privilege of going down to Trinity College in DC and working with some amazing children and their families. And we got to have a day where we could just let them say, I can do this. And it was awesome.
So who were the participants that you guys were working with, the getting to work with?
Well, I had the best participant ever, so I just have to put that out there. So Mr. A, he was a rock star. We got him in a kayak. We got him into, winning a bocce competition. You know,
no
I don't
want
to say that I had no anything like, to do with that. Yeah. And then we did some wheelchair basketball. We did some archery. I felt very empowered as a PT. Amanda and I were talking about this because it made me sort of reevaluate. I'm always trying to tell patients to be careful. And we were both like, no, that kid should go as fast as he can. And if he falls out of his wheelchair, he's going to figure out how to get back in it.
What was the age range of the participants you guys were working with today?
They Ballpark. Went up to 22, right? Yeah. So I think the youngest might have been 4 or 5 under the radar. We took some stealth 4-year-olds.
Gotcha. Well, we say a lot, I think it works on both ends of the age spectrum. We tell older patients to sit down and be careful and don't do anything, and we tell kids who might have mobility issues, sit down and be careful and don't hurt yourself. Some of the best advice is that kid needs to fall maybe twice as much as his able peer because he needs to know how to pick himself up maybe with 2 limbs and not 4.
Well, one of the things that was totally awesome was, so the Fairfax Falcons were there, which is the adaptive basketball program. There was a child who was there for Adaptive Adventure Day. So he hadn't experienced wheelchair basketball yet, but he wanted to check it out. And they threw him into a game. And he went right in to grab the ball, probably fouled the kid, which was awesome.
Awesome.
So they went wheelchair to wheelchair, and he flipped over. And the coach for the Fairfax Falcons grabbed the chair, picked him up, and she goes, you're finally on the team. You're one of us. She's like, it's happened to everybody. And the kid was like, yeah, like, this is awesome. Like, I'm on the team. So that was, it was great for, I think, also the siblings that were there to be able to see their brothers and sisters, go to their athletic game.
Like, be a kid.
It was great. And, I just am so thankful that Amanda reached out to us because I thought it was a great experience for our students and it was a great experience for me. So I hope that, I know we're going to go back in the future and I hope that Marymount's even a bigger presence next year. So
yeah, I think a lot of times we focus on the kid in the wheelchair, except there's a kid.
It's a kid.
In that wheelchair.
Yeah.
So it's not the wheelchair. We're not watching wheelchair basketball. We're watching kids play basketball who happen to be running into and running over each other in wheelchairs, which is actually awesome to watch. I mean, if you've seen that document, Murder Ball, that's an awesome sport. How's it been? How's it been, you've been chair for how many years now?
Going on 3.
So you've done the full cycle.
This is a full cycle, yes.
You've now seen your first years.
Got a couple more gray hairs.
You've seen your first years now become 3rd years and go out into the world.
Yeah, so this is actually the first, I'm on my 2nd class that has never known me as just a faculty member. So that's been good. It's good. It's, if I was going to be completely honest, it's a little bit challenging because I've always tried to be really student friendly. So as the chair, you kind of have to have this.
You can't really be throwing
mystique.
Can't really be throwing keggers. Although today open bar isn't too shabby in terms of getting some cool
points.
Well, this
kegger was thrown by Jason Craig.
Yeah, Jason Craig. We'll talk to Jason Craig in a little bit. So we're going to talk to Amanda Hall coming up next in just 2 seconds. But every time we have a guest on, you have to do your parting shot, right? So we're going to do our parting shot. So words of wisdom. Let's focus. Since you're in academia, you're with a bunch of students. Let's do our parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
All right, so words of wisdom, if you were to leave these students who are now first years going forth, what's a parting shot that you'd tell them to keep close to their heart as they go through these daunting 3 years?
All right, so I'm going student-focused right
now. Student-focused.
Get to know your faculty.
Ooh.
That's an easy one, right? But they are physical therapists. They know people, and they will get you connected. It's a really small field, so if you can get to know them on a personal level, you guys will be colleagues in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, you said that to us during our first year. You're like, you're going to be my colleague in like a year or two, but I mean, this is my second career, so I was a little older than my classmates, but I'm still thinking, well, no, I'm not, because you guys know so much more than me. And you're like, the first day after your last day as a student, you're a PT. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
You're kicked out of the
you're
nest.
You're in the club.
It's time to fly. So that's
great.
And
you look at everybody differently. You're like, you had to take that NPTE.
Get so to know your faculty. Make sure you know what they drink, because, hey, if the ball's going to bounce one way or the other, that's my advice. If the ball's going to bounce one way or the other, you want it to bounce your way. So know what they drink. All right, Amanda Hall coming up next. This is the PT Pintcast.
Follow us on Twitter at PT Pintcast and online at PTPintcast.com. It's like TMZ, except with way more important information. And no Miley Cyrus. Okay, it's not like TMZ at all.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry,
brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
It uses data from the profession
for the profession
to help you elevate your patient care, visualize your value, and define your future. The Outcomes Registry collects and aggregates electronic health record data from practices to help physical therapists make well-informed clinical decisions and track clinical outcomes against nationwide averages. By joining the registry, you'll gain a critical tool to demonstrate the value of physical therapy. It's easy. It's fast. It's the future. Find out more online now at ptoutcomes.com.
That's ptoutcomes.com.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry.
Brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
The PT Pintcast is powered by Smart Tools, the next generation of instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. The fastest-growing approach to IASTM is Smart Tools, from high-quality American-made tools. Smart Tools. Find them online at smarttoolsplus.com.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pintcast.
All right, we are doing a show live at Cowboy Cafe in Arlington, Virginia. I want to thank Marymount University for making this happen. We've got a lot of student PTs. We've got a local PTs in the Northern Virginia area. And one of them, I'm adjusting her microphone right now. It's the beauty of radio, is I can be doing something else with my hands and you don't know. Amanda Hall, but on the show, everybody. The Mad Caster. And that is your Twitter feed? That's your Twitter handle? That's your Instagram?
Instagram. I'm really bad on Twitter. Karen tried to teach me, but it didn't take.
So you've been featured on MTV, like Us Weekly, been featured all over the internet. And explain why. Why would someone have seen your, I'm gonna call it artwork, because I draw stick figures, but you do something way better than stick figures.
Well, I do serial casting and splinting for kids, and I make an effort to decorate them.
A big effort.
With, you know, whether it's Peppa Pig or a Jordan Jumpman or whatever it is that gets them into it so they're not upset about having to cast or splint.
So Amanda's downplaying what she does. So she's just being humble. So in theory, let's say you were a 17-year-old kid and now you need to wear a Ciro cast for a while. You've got a new pair of Yeezys.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man, I got to wear one Yeezy and this crappy-ass cast. What you'll do is you'll just like, give me your Yeezy. And then you'll make the cast look like the Yeezy. And then the kid will be like, I've got original Yeezys.
Yeah.
One Yeezy and one Amanda Yeezy.
Yeah.
So you work at HSC, and Sky was just talking about the event that you guys had earlier today. And this is just like any kid's dream. I don't care if they are mobility impaired or not. Like, people are going to set up a bunch of games for you to play, and you can just play them all day long. How long you guys been doing this, and what do you get out of it?
So it's we have an adaptive sports program, Kids in Action. And this is a new project for the past 4 years that we have set up so that kids can sample sort of like different sports that they can get involved in throughout the year. So they get to try out wheelchair basketball. They get to try out bocce and kayaking and archery and different things. So then they can hopefully get
That's
involved
awesome.
All year round in activities. So it's a good way for them to sample and sort of try different things that might make them uncomfortable, but they can you know, we had a lot of kids that were scared of the water, and by the end of the day, they didn't want to get out of the pool because they were in the kayaks.
Right. I mean, I've been around kids long enough. I mean, lots of kids are shy to jump in and try stuff. You know, you're kind of nervous. Am I going to be okay at this, or I'm going to look bad, or whatever. Throw that on top of it, now you've got a mobility issue. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, parents want to play it safe, but kind of got to knock your kid into the pool once in a while and be like, I don't know, figure it out. But that's great. You let them do exactly that, which is why I like the word that you used.
Yeah.
Sample. I don't know. Shoot a bow and arrow. Did it work? I don't know. Try it again. You want to do a kayak? Great. Yeah. Let's go jump in the pool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's a responsibility of PTs, right? It's our responsibility to get kids in our communities doing stuff. Like going to PT for an hour a week and going home to sit in the house is not
That's
not the answer. So we need to get them the wheelchairs they need, get them the walkers, and get them out, and then make the programs. So that's what, you know, our hospital has worked to make this program so that they have things to do, things that they can go to. They can do taekwondo, they can do ballet, they can do all the things that kids do, but adapted for their needs.
They can do it. I can't. I have two left feet. I can't do taekwondo or ballet or any type
of
dancing.
We'll adapt it for you, Jimmy. That's the thing.
We can adapt it
even for you.
You can adapt it for me. I heard a quote. I won't take credit for this. We spend the first year or two of a child's life teaching them to stand up and talk, and then we spend a lot of their time later on telling them to be quiet and sit down. And you can't do that with a kid with mobility issues because they've already, as we learned from Cole Galloway, they've lost so many different cycles, so many reps, so many movements that they're already behind their age match peers that you need to make it harder for them. Talk about the wheelchair basketball. We were talking about the dude with the arms like twice the size of my legs.
Yeah.
That dude is jacked.
So we were so lucky. Trayvon Jennifer, he's a Paralympian. He's been in 4 Paralympics and most recently in Rio. And he's from PG County. He's a local guy. And he was there with his wife and his kid today. And he was doing amazing stuff. He can jump on the floor and jump back up to his wheelchair. And he was born without legs. He has a congenital syndrome, born without legs. And he was just out there to show these kids what he was able to accomplish. He was wrestling against typically developing peers in high school, and they were upset because he kept winning. And they're like, well, that's not fair. He doesn't have legs. Because he was beating them all. Like, that's the speech he was telling
us. Sucks to be you, bro, but you lost.
Right. And, you know, Sky and I were talking about that, watching the weird child basketball. I was like, wanted to jump in and slow them down. I was, as a PT, I'm looking at like, oh no, don't fall. And I'm like, that's the problem with us, is that we want to keep it safe. And these kids are flying and they're falling out of chairs. And it's what they need. That's what kids are supposed to do, is fall and take risks and get hurt. And it was so great to see that. And there were so many kids with helicopter parents or who are themselves kind of fearful usually. And they were out there looking at the other kids and flying.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is going to be fine.
Well, the meaning is there. We want to keep our kids safe, but we want to make sure that they are well prepared for everything outside of that clinic or outside of that adaptive sports environment. I want you to be ready for the world, because you know what? The world's not going to slow down for you.
Right.
You got to figure out how to cross the street. You got to figure out how to get up and down stairs. You got to get on a plane. You got to buy some shoes. You got to figure all that stuff out. I bet you that's great seeing a guy like, what's his first name?
Trayvon.
A guy like him rolls in, and you don't need to say. I mean, he was born without legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, instantly the kids look at him and they go, oh, okay, he's someone I want to aspire to be. Because he said, I'm born with no legs, but I'm a Paralympian. I want to focus on that second part, that Olympian part. That's amazing that he comes and does something like that. That's fantastic.
And he was such a great mentor today. He was pulling in the different kids and really engaging with them. It was like so great to have him.
Let's talk about mobility equipment. You wanted to mention some of that. What's the PT's role in some of that? Because that's your wheelhouse.
Yes.
You know, you're creating things that are worn on the human body by kids to help them. To help them do what?
Okay, so this is a soapbox. So PT's job.
Soapbox it up. We got alcohol and everything.
PT's job is to provide the physiology, right? So if you're not standing on your own, the body needs to stand for bone and joint development. So put them in standing, whether it's a gait trainer or a walker.
Wolf's Law.
Done. Wolf's Law. Bam. Check.
Write that down.
Gait trainer,
standard. Write that down.
Good points there, right? And then second is that least restrictive thing that we're taught, right? We want to get the kid moving with the least amount of intervention. the last thing that is overlooked is the minimal energy intervention. Because, okay, if I'm going to walk from here to the other side of the room, that doesn't take me much energy. And if I have you walking with quad canes across the room because that's your mom's goal because it looks less disabled, but you just spent like 15 minutes to get there and now you're exhausted and you can't study for the math test that you need to study for because you spent so much energy and mental energy and physiological energy to get there, I have to say, okay, you have your quad canes for therapy, but you need an e-fix wheelchair to go on your way to math class. And that's the part that we're not, as PTs, doing a good enough job at. Because we have to tell you, in the kitchen, you need your spatula and you need your ladle, you need different tools. And if you are always trying to do the most exercise, you're not going to learn in class. You're not going to be able to come up with a brilliant idea because you're spending so much energy all the time. And we have so many young adults who've ingrained in them that it's lazy if I'm not using my canes every day, or if I'm not using my walker, or I'm pushing my wheelchair and I need to have power. You know, that we need to get kids multiple options for movement, right? So the thing that lets me be the most free and the thing that lets me just use my brain as a human and get around as quickly as I can without having to run a marathon to get to the other side of the room.
Get them ready for life.
Right.
What's going to be most efficient for them and challenging. And
right.
this is not easy.
Right.
This is not a one-size-fits-all formula.
Right.
It needs to be adapted, and that's where you,
right.
We as the PT need to come into play,
right.
and do this. What's a great moment from today? You know, if we were to take like a great snapshot, what do you got for me?
So there was this little girl. She was like 3 or 4.
I like how you didn't even need to, like, give me a minute, I'll think about it. You're like, boom, I got the moment right there.
I can't stop thinking about it.
I got it,
so
right there.
We had people lined up to take pictures with Trayvon, Jennifer, me also.
Obviously, yes.
I was in line. But when it was her turn, she's in a power wheelchair, and she just like grabbed his hand and pulled him over to her and was just like she was just so excited. She couldn't stop grinning, and she wasn't going to let him go. And he presented her with her medal for the day and like the smile on her face. To have that kind of a mentor for her, it was just huge. Like, you could just see the look on her. I don't think she'd ever seen somebody like that who was, you know, had a disability but was not disabled in any way. He was so amazing.
Right. You know, seeing someone who kind of looks like you, because maybe your parents aren't in a wheelchair, and that's
right.
Now you're different. Like you said, it's always good to bring up the siblings who kind of get the short end of the stick sometimes. You know, we always often, you know, focus on, you know, the kid who has the mobility issue. But a lot of times, you know, I like to focus on the siblings too, get them involved, because they're the human beings that are going to be around the most outside your parents,
right.
That are going to be able to actually interact with them, and being able to do that and making them look good, that's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah.
All right, so you ready for your parting shot?
Okay.
All right, hang on.
This is the parting shot.
All right, if you were going to go forth, we got some students out there who are listening in the audience or in a podcast world who might want to go work with children with mobility issues. What do you want them to think about as they go forth?
I think I would follow up on what Sky said on
okay.
that don't be afraid to take risks and try. I think, you know, following the rules and always following the protocol gets you the same thing every time. And we are not technicians. We are experts and we are creative. And to kind of get out of that, like,
right.
what if I tried this? Like, Go Baby Go came out of that, you
right.
know? We have to continue to be creative. And if it's a terrible idea, that's okay. But
right.
you got to keep trying and keep pushing and seeing, like, what if we put a motor in a car?
Right. Well, look. I was in ortho, my first job out of a PT school, and I was like, I don't love it. I don't like it. I don't know what to do. What do I do? I literally just emailed you. I was like, hey, you're in pediatrics. What do I do? This is who I was. Yeah, this is who I was like, can I like come hang out with you? And you're like, yeah, all right. But like, if I sat around on the, right. you know, the edge of the pool and was just like, I don't know, I'll just wait for someone to ask me if I want to come and jump in. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, no one invited you to apply for PT school. No one's going to invite you to get to the job that you want.
Right.
You have to step forward, but be
right.
smart about
and,
it.
And you're in school to learn to think, not to learn the rules. Like, you need to learn to think.
Were we supposed to learn rules? I did not cover that. We did
That's
not cover
saying.
That at all.
That's what I'm saying. That's this guy's point of, like, you got to fail because you got to learn
right.
how to think and say, if I try this, it might work. Let me see.
Right.
And we don't know until we see.
I like it. Amanda Hall, everybody. The Madcaster. On Instagram.
Making your commute to clinic enjoyable since 2015.
What is it?
This is the PT Pinecast.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. All right, we got our next guest is perfectly prepared right now as she chugs her drink.
My club soda.
Club
thank you,
soda,
sweet.
Right.
Bourbon's in hand. I'm
oh, okay, bourbon in hand, okay. Club soda. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy O'Malley. Amy works at Good Beginnings Physical Therapy, a pediatric physical therapy, occupational therapy clinic in Falls Church, Virginia. Amy was my boss and my mentor. She taught me where all the good Nerf guns were in the clinic. I was a little bit big for most of the bicycles in the clinic, but I found a scooter that fit me just fine. So please welcome Amy to the show.
He was on that scooter nonstop.
Yeah. Well, if I'm not going to run after the kid, they're too damn fast. I want to scoot.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So how have things been? What's up at Good Beginnings?
Good Beginnings is doing well. You know, we miss you.
Way to butter up the host. I like
yes.
it. Good.
We were sad to see you leave, but we're really happy that you're pursuing this passion because it's so important to have somebody who really understands communication speak on our behalf. As we've learned, PTs are really good at being PTs, but we don't necessarily have other skills, or we haven't developed them. And we need people who are multi-trained to really speak on our behalf. And so we're glad we gave you some experience so you can speak on behalf of PEDS.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to support you on yeah. the way forward.
You're gunning for another free t-shirt, aren't you?
Woo!
We're gonna get that for you right now. So we wanna talk about what you did for me, mentoring new grads.
Got it.
That's all I know, because I'm a new grad. We literally, I say my career is a lot like this podcast. It mimics it perfectly. I'm literally stumbling around a bar like this, just bumping into other physical therapists, and I'm like, hey, I'm Jimmy. Can you teach me something? Because I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Well, and it really, I really want to emphasize the importance of mentoring because I was so fortunate in my career to meet the right people at the right time who took care of me and started my career. So my clinical instructor from my pediatric affiliation ended up connecting me with my first pediatric job, which has been the jumping stone to my entire career. You know, as of now, that's been 20 years. Kind of freaking out because we're having our 20-year reunion this year.
No big deal. 20 years is good.
In that time, I've been able to take the PCS and finish my DPT and do a lot of my professional goals. And literally, I can trace that back to Robbie O'Shea back at the early ECRIP program at University of Illinois at Chicago. Without her, it wouldn't have happened. So I want to be that for many, many people. And I'd like to encourage people to take those opportunities.
All right, so...
Am I talking too fast?
You're not talking too fast. Okay. We're good. No. All right, so since this, we're doing a college tour, we got a lot of students in attendance. How do you seek that out? I mean, you kind of skipped a step there. You wanted to thank your mentor, but how do you find one?
Okay, so some of it for y'all is going to be luck of the draw, and I'm just not going to lie about that. So really look to see how you connect with your clinical instructors in the clinic. If you find someone you have a natural relationship with, don't be afraid to ask for more. Don't be afraid to say, you know, I feel like we've had a really good teaching relationship, and I'd really like to see if I could utilize this in the future. That's not going to happen with every person that you meet. It's either not the clinical that really interests you, or it's not the right personality match. So there are opportunities beyond that. I know within the pediatric section, we offer for pediatric section members, even the new graduates, we offer long-distance mentoring matches. So I actually take at least one student every year who's a long-distance mentoring match, and we do an email / phone / you know, meet up once in a while kind of thing, and where they can ask me questions. And it's worked really well for people who live in more rural areas who don't have anybody. You know, they're the one pediatric person in their clinic, and they need someone to talk to, and there you go. I'm assuming the other sections have that as well.
What do you charge for that?
It's free.
So my next question is not on the list.
Sure.
There are a lot of people that do this out there in social media world who charge money for this.
Really?
Are you aware of this?
No.
So this is off the script, which is what I like to do. You gotta throw a curveball. There are people who charge $100, $200, $300 to students, even students who are not even in PT school yet, for a mentorship opportunity. You're somebody who has 20 years experience. A PCS, went back and got your DPT. I want to go back to the 20 years experience because I don't want to just hit the degrees and the certifications. I want to focus on that experience. Two decades worth of touching patients. And how much do you charge to mentor a student?
$0.
So off the cuff, what's your gut reaction to somebody who's going to say, if you give me $300, I will give you a FaceTime hour of my time, and then we'll talk once a week for half hour.
I'm going to be honest and say I'm pretty sad about that. I think that part of our profession is to give back to the community. And we give back in many ways, some of the more things that I think Jimmy and I will talk about in a bit. And one of the ways is to give back to the profession that took their time to teach you. And so there were people like Robbie O'Shea didn't charge me for the extra. I did go out of my way. I went out of my way to keep in touch with her. That's my job. That's my desire to stay in touch with the
profession.
You're
setting yourself apart.
Yeah.
You're standing out
yeah.
by doing
and,
that.
Well, and even after the fact, I mean, I would go help her with the field trip at the Brookfield Zoo. I'd go do this. You know, I'd volunteer my time to stay current and just be involved and see what would happen. But she didn't expect more than maybe a Diet Coke on the way
right.
to the thing because she's tired.
The look on Amanda Hall's face when I said that people are charging for mentorship was just, like, I wish this wasn't a podcast. I wish this was like a video cast because she looked like she almost fell off her chair. You know, this has been happening for some time.
Wow.
And I think it just started to bother me in social media when I started to see this, because people not as qualified as yourself with 20 years under your belt are now charging students. Any students here with just a load of extra money that you need to burn through at any got a bunch new grads, any of that, they're charging these, I don't want to call it predatory, but I just did. It's a little predatory, don't you? I mean, that's just my. I saw you. You wanted to bring up mentoring, and I said, "Oh, look at that! I have a way to." We call that a radio segue, Amy. It's a radio segue.
Hey, I love
long-term professional plan. What do students need to know about that?
I think it's never too early to start thinking about your professional plan, because right now you can get so focused on school and passing the next exam, and third years are already thinking about comps and boards. And those are all things that are just part of what you do. And they're part of the things that teach you grit. And no matter how much you prepare for them, you can't make it any... I was just having this discussion with Caitlin earlier. You can't make it any easier. You can't study any more in advance to take away the anxiety of those things. And you almost shouldn't. It's the anxiety and the work you put into that that make you a better person in the end. And you just can't take away the stress of something that large in life. What you can do is start thinking about the long term, where you want to be. You don't have to map it out. You don't have to write it on a Google spreadsheet. You can just start to daydream. Do I?
But some type A personalities will put it on a Google spreadsheet.
Right, and that's fine. I'm not going to take your Google spreadsheet away from you. I like to color code things. My poor first year tutorial students already learned about my color coding system. And I am very type A for a pediatric therapist.
That's it.
However, I also am a pediatric therapist, and daydreaming is a good thing. Take an hour once a month and think, God, where do I want to be 5 years from now? Do I want to do NGO work somewhere in another country? Do I maybe want to have those credentials, PCS, NCS, OCS after my name? Do I want to teach? What do I want to do? Do I want to get married and raise kids and work part-time while I contribute? Those things are all very valid too. You know, there's many different paths, but start to daydream and enjoy it, because that's the life I'm living right now, and that's what I love. And it took me 20 years to accomplish most of those goals. and it feels like it took a long time, yet I feel like I'm still 22.
Right. You know, I get focused on words because words are what I kind of went to school for, and I get, you know, long-term professional plans sounds like a term that you could charge a lot of money for, but really it's where do you want to go? How are you going to get there? Because your job could be, I want to be the physical therapist for the Washington Redskins. Great. You roll out of bed tomorrow. You can't do that tomorrow.
Right.
You've got to do something tomorrow that will get you to be the PT for the Washington Redskins 5, 10, 15 years from now. And if you want it bad enough, you're going to get there. But I think sometimes with a long-term, you know, professional plan, we always want to have an answer holstered. You know, what's your 5-year plan? Oh, my 5-year plan is this, this, this. Well, great. How are you working towards getting there? Well, I'm going to school. What else are you doing? And that's kind of what you're reiterating over and over again is, what are you doing to get you there today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, that's going to get you there in 5 to 10 years? Because the awesome, you know, the daydreaming jobs, they don't fall on your lap, you know? No. You got to hustle to get those things.
But you also really have to free think. And that's the part that I think you lose when you're in graduate school. It becomes very rigid, get this done, get this done, get this done. Let yourself dream big. You had to dream big to get into PT school. So now let yourself dream big about the next steps and really enjoy what that is. Because a lot of graduate school is stress, and this is fun.
A lot of graduate school is stress?
Most of graduate
school. A lot of students out there are like, this is the only non-stress I've had since I've been in grad school.
But we drank a lot in my graduate program, I'm not gonna lie. So we had a lot of fun.
We drink a little bit. But what do we wind up doing while we're drinking in PT school?
Talking about PT,
yeah. Yep. So we are so carefree. Geeks, alcoholic geeks is what we are.
Intellectual badass.
Intellectual badass
like
society.
That.
Is what we should be. I like it. All right, are you ready to take a shot?
I am.
This is the parting shot.
All right, Amy, you're talking to students in the audience, in the bar right now, and across the country. We're doing the college tour. So what do we have for our parting shot? What should students out there focus on in their PT careers?
Don't let your student loans define your future actions. Shall I expand?
Yeah, I was going to say, either drop the mic and walk off stage, or you're going to let me know what the hell you're talking about. Because right now, I feel like I'm being crushed to death.
That's all right. So right now, I've been mentoring a lot of the third years that are the recent graduates from Marymount. And what I...
How much are you charging them to do that?
Zero.
Okay, good.
No,
$0.
I'm not
going
to lie.
Good.
Every once in a while, they buy me a coffee from Starbucks. But what I found, and I was a victim of this, I went to school, everybody knows my story, during a bull market, and I was told to check the box that said, compound your interest daily. Daily. And I borrowed a very large amount of money that compounded $40,000 of additional interest while I was in school.
You got Ponzi schemed.
I totally got Ponzi schemed. And my university still has the audacity to ask me for money every year, but that's beside the point. And what I found in the beginning was it almost kept me from taking my pediatric job of making zero money per year. And I said, no, I'm going to do it. I want to do this. And what having to have student loans did was force me to make other choices. I did NGO work instead of take a month off to go backpacking, which has been way more rewarding and facilitated my career. I've had to live in certain apartments where I met amazing people because I couldn't afford to buy my own condo. And so while some of my friends worked in business and were making all this cash and were doing all these things, I'm quoting right now, things I thought I should be doing, I had other really tangible, meaningful experiences that when I look back on it 20 years from now, I would never turn down, and I still don't own my own condo, and I don't care. So when you are looking at that student loan bill, let it go. No one's gonna look at your tombstone and say, wow, they paid their student loans off in 10 years, good for them. They're gonna say they live life to the fullest. So take the job you wanna take, you'll figure out a solution, and continue to enjoy after school. Mic drop.
There we go. I like that. Well, I say, what do I say? Write your obituary right now. You know, what do you want that? Mm-hmm. All right, Amy O'Malley, everybody's here for her. We've got Jason Craig coming up in just a minute. He's eating some wings, drinking some beer right now. This is the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
We got 23 5-star ratings and 1 3-star rating. Hey, we can't be perfect all the time. Give us a rating and review on iTunes so we can print them out and hang them on our fridge. This is the PT Pinecast.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPINECAST at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPINECAST for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. All right, we're back at the PT Pinecast. Want to thank our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing, for coming all the way out here. These guys are live. Sonny, Maddie, they're in the audience. Just wave. We're waving. It's a podcast. I don't know. I just feel like saying wave. $250 cash if you're listening right now. You still have time to enter their slogan contest. You've seen their t-shirts at CSM, at NSC, at Next. You can design the next one, and if they pick yours, you get $250 cash plus bragging rights. Sonny, yeah, you can't be this close to the microphone and not say hello. Sonny's here.
Hi, guys.
All the way from Omaha, and what do we got going on in the world of travel physical therapy?
Well, everything's picking up right now, so we've got people all over, and unfortunately with the hurricanes that are going on, they're really needing therapists even more so.
Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, but we've had new grad travelers that have come out and really have just represented the field really well. We've had directors that tell us about how much they have just gone in, and especially in Texas where they've gone to see clients that they are patients that they weren't able to get to, and they've just really dug deep. So
I didn't even think about that. We're focused so much on the recovery effort and everything like that. Didn't think about that. Yeah, we're gonna have a disruption in care for some patients in all the disciplines, and you guys do PT, OT, what else? I mean, you do speech, you guys do everything.
Nursing and lab, and so, so there's a big need out there right now, and even more so. So just come on and spread the word, and we'll do what we can to get them out there to help.
AURESmedical.com, that's AURESmedical.com. What's your 800 number?
Oh my gosh.
I'll edit it out if you don't know.
I don't know what I'm
saying. 1-800, Sunny is waiting for you at... 3-4-0-2-6-1-9-er. There's a niner in there. There we go. Caught that one. There we go. I focus on the website, because I'll be honest, I'm not calling someone first. I'm going to Google you. I'm going to eyeball you, but...
I give my local number.
AureusMedical.com. That's AURESmedical.com. Want to thank you guys for supporting the show and traveling around. Where are we going to be next? We're going to be at National Student Conclave in Portland... Where else are you going to be? California Physical Therapy Association annual meeting. I know some guys are going to be out there.
Yeah, we're going to. We have someone at the California Physical Therapy Association. You'll see Lewis Teal from our social media team. We've got Maddie Landstrom that's here tonight that's going to go visit the students out at LSU. We'll be in Portland for the National Student Conclave, but you can check out our website. We'll tell you where exactly we're going.
Yeah, talk to these guys. Listen, it's not a pressure sell, right? You guys don't pressure sell them. You just say, hey, if you want to be a PT in Hawaii, Sonny and Maddie and the rest of Arias, they can let you be a PT in Hawaii.
Yes. And that's one of the great things that we've heard about our student outreach team is that people can get the answers to their questions without feeling pressured, because a lot of times they're asking the questions about travel and they feel as though people don't have time for it. Well, we have a team dedicated to answer your questions, anything that you have.
No pressure. Ask a question. Maybe you work with them, maybe you don't, but at least you got your question answered. Arias Medical, want to thank these guys for supporting the show. We got Jason Craig coming up right now.
We stand for life, liberty, and beer. Plus, you know, physical therapy and stuff.
We are back with Jason Craig. We just had Jason on the show for the first time a couple weeks ago, and we were out at all the conferences blend together. Next. We were at Next in Boston. Wow, after you've been to 5 or 6 national conferences, they start to blend together. All right, so what are we going to talk about? We're talking about who do we think we are? Like, here's the thing. Jason was one of my professors, never really shy about saying what he felt or how he felt things. Team Awesome, he was on Team Awesome. So Jason's reputation precedes him if you know Marymount University. So we got into it a little bit. There's a lot, especially on social media, and I've seen some hysterical social media conversations with Jason Craig at the helm. If you've been in the DPT student Facebook group, they're awesome. Follow along. Who do we think we are in terms of physical therapy? What's that mean to you, Jason?
You know, the more I've been in this, I have no idea. who PT students think they are. Because it's interesting, if you're a student here tonight and you come into the profession, what you wanted to do was you wanted to help people. That's why PT students sign up. You read all the essays. We get 1,000 applicants a year. And everybody says they had an injury, their grandma broke a hip, something happened, and they want to help people. Except when they get to third year. And in third year, when the reality of the debt, reality of the loans, reality of the finances hits, then helping people seems to be less of an issue and the financial implications become more of a focus.
So why we got into it sticks around for 2 years, and then that third year, the impending jump off the cliff into student loanville,
right,
starts to change our own perception. How do you fix that? What do we do?
Well, I think you got to fix it from before you start PT school. See, the reality
Everybody here is we're in trouble because you guys are already in PT school.
Too late. All you students, you're sunk. Okay, you're just in debt from now until forever. The reality is that when students are coming in, you're facing a $70,000 to $120,000 debt. All right, I have that much left on my mortgage. All right, so I'm looking to pay that off to pay my house, and you're looking to pay it off just to get a degree. I don't think that enough students come in thinking about how am I going to pay this. To be honest, people are coming straight from undergrad, going straight into a DPT, because the idea of the job, I think, is so attractive that they don't think about the reality of getting there. And I think we're getting to a point where people are not going to be able to afford it. And they're going to have to take that time that they used to take. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, it was much more normal to do your four-year degree, take a couple of years, work off some of your undergrad debt, go into a clinic, figure out that's what I want to do, and then go for your PT degree. And I think we're going to get there again where people are just financially going to have to pay off some undergrad debt, bank some money to then be able to come in and do
PT. You bring up costs, remember why you started. Now, here's the problem that I have when people start bitching about student loan costs. Listen, I'm not excited that I have it, but it wasn't a shock.
Right.
It wasn't like someone said, come on in, we're going to help a bunch. Come on, Jimmy, we're going to help a bunch of people. Don't worry about it. What does it cost? Oh, we'll talk about that later. I knew the cost going in.
Right.
I'm not happy about it, but I'm not much. I wasn't flim-flammed.
Right.
I'd love to see it come down. I'd love to see some people get access that don't. But this isn't, we weren't sold one thing and charged another.
Yeah.
We knew the sticker shock was there.
Right. I mean, particularly for us at Marymount, what we tried to do is we tried to put one price. So when you come into our program, you know exactly what you're going to pay. And if you come in and you're surprised, then you didn't read. I mean, not even read between the lines. You just didn't read the lines.
Read the last line. The last line's the big one.
Yeah. And so I get frustrated dealing with students sometimes when they're somehow surprised. It's like, are we an expensive school compared to another school? We could be. Go to the other school. If all you're interested in is finances, go to the cheapest. But you got to remember, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
Jason always has the zinger.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Everybody wants it cheap. Everybody wants something for free. Well, there's a cost.
Right.
And that's a big thing that, as faculty, this is going to upset some people, but as faculty, we pay a cost because I could go out, my students that graduate and start working in clinics start off at a higher salary than I have as a faculty member.
But why are you still here?
Because whenever I started teaching, it wasn't about finances. See, I didn't go about the money. I knew the money would come.
Right.
I have enough money to live on. I pay for my family. But for me, going to work is more about being able to engage with people, to take a generation of students, and to help them become who they want to be.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, I feel fulfilled.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into, yes, if you get a degree from an accredited program, you are now a physical therapist, the same as I, no matter where you got your degree. I looked at it, and this is just my anecdotal story. I wanted to be in a mid-sized city, so being in Arlington was pretty awesome for me. I knew going in, rent was going to be insane.
Yeah.
I could have gone to, for instance, Nazareth College in Rochester. I could have bought a house there for what I paid in rent in 1 year in Arlington, but I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Nothing against Rochester. I love our town, but I wanted to be somewhere else. But I wasn't shocked by it.
Right.
So I can kind of bitch, but really I don't have any grounds.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, for me, I tell our students whenever they come into our interview day, when people come and they see us at Marymount, they get what they see. There's nothing, we're not fancy, we're not dressed up. Well, I'm wearing a tie, but that's about the only difference. But what they get is what they see the rest of the year. And I talked to them about Baskin Robbins, you know, the ice cream store?
Right.
31 flavors. Well, PT school, all we do is make ice cream. Every PT school in the country makes ice cream. We make a particular flavor. And our flavor is made by our curriculum, but it's also made by the faculty and the students who are there. So when you come and you visit us, if you don't like our flavor, don't come. Big shock, don't come. Yeah. I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
You'll be miserable for 3 years.
Yeah.
And don't sit in my class and be miserable because you made a bad choice.
Right. We have
go pick your flavor.
Second year and third year students do tours for incoming potential applicants. Right. And it just dumbfounds me that on those tours, I would have males, female applicants, pre-applicants, talking smack about where well, you know, I went to this school and on their visit day, I saw this and what? How come you don't have that? And I'm like, you know what? We got a door downstairs. It swings both ways. You can push it or you can pull it, and either way, you can get out. If like same thing. If you don't like it,
hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yeah, go out.
I think that students need to know, and these are students that are applying to programs. They need to know that they're in charge. I think that there's an element where students believe that the programs are in charge, and they've got to understand that they're the ones that have the control, where they're the ones that can go in, they can talk to the faculty, they make the choice. People feel that because I was chosen for a program, I have to go there. No. Those faculty have said, you will be successful, or you're good enough to be successful in our program. But it's still your choice. You still have to decide, I want to take that spot. I want to take that spot this year, or I want to take it next year.
At that cost.
At that cost.
Yeah. And I'm gonna put my time, my effort, and listen, you can bitch about it all you want, but you made that choice. Yes. That was your thing.
Yeah.
One thing that comes up time and time again, especially online, we referred to it earlier, I think anyway, in terms of people peddling things that aren't actually possible. In terms of, I want to be a 5-year experience PT 6 months into my career.
Yeah.
So take this course and it will accelerate your life. It will accelerate your brain somehow. You will be accelerated. I keep using the word accelerated because that word is thrown around a lot. I will accelerate you. You can't age 5 years in a year, right? I mean,
I wonder how many people listen to this when they thought about the first house that they would live in outside of their parents, thought about something that was equivalent to their parents' house. When you think about moving out, you don't think about moving out and down. You think about moving out equal.
Right.
I lived in a 5-bedroom house with 3 bathrooms, so my first student accommodation has got to be a 5-bedroom house with 3 bathrooms. That's what I lived in. However, your parents didn't start there, probably. They probably started in a 2-bedroom house, an apartment. They started somewhere else, and they got to that point. So many students today, I think, come out, and they want to start in somebody else's middle. Like, I'm 25 years into my career. I can pick and choose where I work. You just graduated. You can't.
Can't.
You don't have the choice to do that.
There's no Con Ed course that will get me there.
No. You can't just go and take, you know, a weekend on this and a weekend on that and be able to stick a needle in this and to poke that and prod that and mobilize this and manipulate that. It doesn't matter. Clinical experience is gained over time. And time moves 1 second at a time.
For everybody.
For everyone. All at the same speed. And people say you can accelerate healing. No, you can't. Healing takes place over time. It's the same with our careers. You got to set out, and I remember talking to someone about this before. It's like, it's the difference between a sprinter and a marathon runner. If you got 26 miles to go, you got 26 years to go in your career. Are you going to run that at Usain Bolt speed?
No.
Or are you going to set yourself a pace where you can continue to step up and stay and maintain a pace so that you finish strong? Because if you run at 100 meter pace for a 26 mile race, you will burn out and leave the profession after 2 years. That's the reality.
students are exposed to messages over and over and over. I think 7,000 times a day is when we see ads. And when you're on social media, especially when you're within the PT social media world, you see those promises, and man, especially when you hear the fellow students or new grads saying, oh, this accelerated my career X amount of years. It's not easy to overlook, right? I mean,
well, I think in PT school, the first thing that we teach you from day one is to check your source. And that's the reality. We got to check our source. We're looking at a research article. Well, what's the source? How qualified is the person that wrote that?
Don't be Wikipedia.
No.
Don't be Wikipedia.
Don't go to Wikipedia. You can go to Morphopedics, but that's not Wikipedia.
Right.
But you got to check your source. Well, the same thing is when you look at social media, you look at the get rich quick, you look at the advance your career, push yourself here. Check the source. If it's a guy or a girl who's been out for 2 years and hasn't made it clinically, but they're the ones that are selling stuff, then what does that say?
There are people who have been out for a year or two are selling mentorship online right now to students, and they're buying it.
Yeah, don't buy it. Don't buy it. If you're buying that, I got a car to sell you.
I got a bridge in Brooklyn. I'll give you a good price. We'll get it for you. All right, time for parting shots.
This is the parting shot.
All right, since we're doing the college tour, Jason, we're doing mostly advice for students. We've had some good stuff so far. What's a parting shot piece of advice you'd give? You always got the zingers and the analogies.
Parting shots. There's going to be some pushback from this.
Great.
And you know what? Pushback is okay. You've got to expect to face some difficulty in your life. If you believe something and you state what you believe, you've got to back it up. There's an awesome book by Angela Duckworth called Grit, and it's all about stickability, how you can stay the course. And as a PT student coming out, you've got to say, you know what? I want to be this. This is where my career I want to go with. How am I going to get there? Well, it's not going to be the hare. It's going to be the tortoise. I'm going to go slow and steady, but I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to make sure that in 5 years or 10 years where I said I'm going to be, that's where I'm going. And not to be taken by the shiny things. The movie Moana, I've got two girls. That whole movie Moana where the big crab thing that's got all the shiny stuff and everything's about razzle dazzle. PT feels like it's like razzle dazzle. 25 years ago when I was learning how to be a student, a PT in college, I was taught the same things that are still being taught today. Because the human body hasn't changed. The bodily processes haven't changed. Physiology, anatomy, basic healing hasn't changed. So let's not get hung up on all these fancy things. Let's just go. That's how the body works. This is what we can affect. Let's just have an effect. And do what we came into the profession to do, which is to help people regain their best recovery. Not for us to get a paycheck.
All right, Jason Craig, everybody from Marymount University, dropping some knowledge bombs on the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay, and CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.